What's up, everybody? It's Aaron Goodwin. I got a little guest appearance by my dad. He's here with me right now.
I thought you said a little guest. I was a big guest. Girth.
This is the guy that raised me and put up with me and all my life. And now we're actually sitting in a car. I'm about to take him to the airport, and we're sitting in my car. And I was like, hey, why don't we just do a little interview and talk? And, you know, I don't know. Why not? And so we're on the seventh floor of Treasure Island in the top of a parking lot.
I won $60. He didn't do as good.
I lost a lot. We walked the whole strip. It was a lot of work. Oh, but,
yeah. I'm not tired. He is.
This is my dad.
Hi, everyone. You know, when you were a kid, you always wanted to sign autographs, but you thought it would be for basketball. Who would have ever thought you'd be getting people to sign autographs, or you'd be signing autographs for ghosts?
Yeah, I used to want to be a basketball player growing up through life. I went to all the basketball camps, did all that stuff. Dad would work two jobs and eventually buy me a pair of Jordans after I pretty much talked you into it.
A pair?
Yeah, but I don't know why, but I had to have Jordans. That was my one. I was pretty good at basketball, and then like
he couldn't jump though.
Yeah, I dunked a couple times in my life, and that's it.
Yeah, but that was on those little toy ones.
Right, it was on the 8-foot hoops.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I did basketball pretty much all through high school and sports, and then I got injured my junior year and my senior year and played a little bit. And then that was about it, but I was pretty into basketball, hardcore, and all the time.
Yeah, I made sure, if at all possible, I think I only missed a half a game, but I tried to hit every game he ever played in.
And you recorded them all, too.
Almost. Bunch of them, yeah.
Yeah, I should find those.
Yeah, I gave them to you, I think.
I have them somewhere. I have a box full of tapes somewhere. I got so much footage of my life.
Well, I helped you move. I know you got tapes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then basically I went to high school in Gresham, and then for 2 years, so freshman and sophomore year, and then junior and senior year, we moved to the PIL League, which is the Portland League, and we lived out there for a while, and then you moved to Vegas, and then I came out shortly after when I was like 18, then decided to move back. Because there's not much to do in Vegas. Or was I 19? I think I was 19.
I think you were 19.
Yeah. And then I moved back. And then
back to Oregon.
Back to Oregon. Then I came back when I was 21. And you've been living out here since. But you live now in Laughlin. Or right outside of Laughlin.
I moved back to Portland.
And then, oh, that's
and
right.
And then I came back. And then I took you back here on your 21st birthday.
That's right.
You stayed at the Luxor.
Yeah.
And then you ended up moving down here. I ended up getting a job with the railroad.
That's right.
To Stockton, and then I moved down to Needles, and now live in Laughlin.
Right, right.
So,
yep. And the one of the craziest things, my very first day showing up in Vegas, well, first you and I, we cruised through, we drove from Portland to here. No. Or no, I met you in Reno.
Yeah, I flew into Reno.
I flew into Reno, and you drove the rest of the way, and then we listened to Art Bell, Coast to Coast, and we listened for aliens the whole way while I stared out the sky. And then I passed out, woke up, we drove into Vegas, couldn't get into our apartments because some guy decided to go rob the store right across the street from where you were living, and instead of him just coming out, he came out in a blaze of glory and got shot up and his head was blown up and brains were everywhere. Like my very first experience to Vegas was a dead guy that just got shot up laying in this sidewalk halfway in the street.
Yeah.
And then the cop shot him up like 20 shots.
I think it was 26 shots.
Yeah, just took him down. Then afterwards we went and checked it out, and you can still remember, still brain chunks were on the ground and
stuff around.
They don't clean up very good.
Yeah, you need a big mop.
So that was my first day in Vegas.
I told him, I said, if they ever tell you to put your hands up or do anything in Vegas, you do what the police say because they just soon shoot you.
Right. And I almost got shot doing that bank robbery video with Nick.
You better explain that one.
You can see it on A1 Collections, me and Nick talk about how, and Steed, about how we almost got arrested and we got accused of bank robbery. We had to go through everything. And, it was crazy. But check it out, A1 Collections YouTube. You'll see that video. Well, I'm sure everyone wants to know a couple of, like, embarrassing stories. And
well, I think one of the things I remember most about Aaron is when he was about 3 years old, we lived in Sisters, Oregon. And we were driving between Redmond and Bend one day, and I'm looking in the mirror, and Aaron's back there in his little kiddie seat. and the diaper bag's there, and right in the side of the diaper bag is the wooden spoon. See, now Aaron learned right and wrong with a wooden spoon.
Right.
And I'm watching the mirror.
Wait, pause real quick. One time I refused to get a spanking, and we went to Star Wars. I refused something, and I got 26 spankings or something like that.
At least.
And then, because I was so stubborn, we never went to see Star Wars.
Yeah, we ended up seeing it, but it was the third movie.
Yeah.
We were going to go to the 1 o'clock matinee. We ended up
right.
Going to
the 6 o'clock. You learn wooden spoon spankings, you learn to get rid of wooden spoon spankings.
Well, you know, he all I asked him to do is pick up some toys, and he said no. And he said no about 8 times, and then I said, okay, I'm going to give you a spanking. So I gave him a spanking. I said, every time you say no, I'm going to give you a spanking. So about 45 minutes later, I said, you know, you should go get that. I said, we'd be at the movie now. And he went in, put the toys away, and I came, gave him a big hug and thanked him, gave him a kiss and said I loved him. And it was all well then.
But I got a lot of spankings.
That's right. They were good. They were good.
And I remember I used to throw this wooden spoon spankings underneath the car when you guys would pull up so they'd break.
Well, yeah, but this day, that's what I was getting at. I'm looking in the mirror as we're driving down the road, and I can see the window go down about 2 inches. And then I've kind of adjusted the mirror, and I'm watching. His hand goes over, grabs a wooden spoon, and slips it up and drops it out the window. And so I said, well, I'm going to have to stop up here because it seems like the wooden spoon blew out the window. And, boy, he's looking around like, who saw that? Who told you? Who told you? So anyhow, we had a little wooden switch there that was a little heavier than the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Because it was a balsa wood's wooden spoon. It didn't make much. It made a noise, but it didn't hurt that much.
It stung.
No.
I remember. It stung. Well, I do believe that you should give your kids spankings. I believe that teaches them lessons. And nowadays, you can't do it, but...
Yeah, you'd be responsible for your actions.
Yeah, still spankings.
And it wasn't cruelty. It was in love. And And I always gave him a hug, and, you know.
And then also, I remember he used to work for a tire place, and we used to, like, every Saturday or every other Saturday you'd work, and I'd go into work with you and, like, play around the tires. I remember that.
Yeah, there was two stories up there, and they had truck tires.
And then I also remember, like, you'd also drive around a lot and deliver the tires, and I'd go, like, to the beach runs with you in Oregon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool times. Yeah. There's so many stuff we could talk about forever. Well, here's one thing. You guys seen a lot of the Big Step and ornaments. Well, my dad made those. Those were all for the Toys for Charity for Kids. I'll probably do that something like that again this year. It was real well. We raised a lot of money and got a lot of toys for them. Also, my dad, he's responsible for embroidering the Big Step logo on the towels that I've been doing. Those are pretty cool. And he's just now starting to do these quilts. It's like a Big Step and quilt that goes over you. It's what is it, a double size? And then,
well, it's
or
bigger.
Single?
It's 12. It's 6 foot by 44, 48 inches.
Right.
So in a regular one is like 5 by 44 inches or 40 inches.
That's what she said.
She don't know.
No, but yeah. So then we start doing these now. We got some new stuff coming out. I'll probably put a few of them up, it's coming up shortly here, and then, at events I'll have a lot of them. It's some kind of limited edition, but I'll see how it goes. We're going to do bigger sizes and stuff, and they run a little pricey just because they cost so much to make.
Yeah,
they run about $80 to make, just to make them, with the product, the material, and the time. So, we probably will, or sometimes some sizes cost more, so we're trying to figure out a fair price.
The little ones would be that.
Right, the bigger ones are obviously, yeah. But I don't know much about quilts and comforters and junk like that.
These are quilts.
Learning women's clothes was hard enough for me, because I have no clue about long cuts, thin cuts, square cuts, all these crazy stuff. But so now I'm learning it, and now I'm starting to learn. Yeah, man, it's a lot of work doing clothing line. But yeah.
Well, these quilts, I can make them, you know, just about any size, my wife does she sews the Big Stepping emblem on. Then I embroidery Big Stepping across the bottom, and then I sew a pattern, which is a Big Stepping pattern I designed so that. It's held together.
I designed the Big Stepping pattern. Let's get that.
Well, you did the pattern, but I did the pattern to go on the quilt. There you go.
Right, there you go.
But anyhow, it's It's that's a time-consuming deal because you got to put it on a big. We got a lot what they call a long arm, and it has an 18-inch throat on this sewing machine, so it'll do up to a king size. And so anyhow, we're working on those, and you know we don't want to get too many of them because we tried it with a cheaper.
We've done three already, and two of them were kind of testers, and the last one was good, but there's a few things, so it's like I washed it, by the way, and it nothing happened. It was good. I always try to like wash it just to see if threading, because when we did the towels, we learned after the 30th towel how to do the threading.
because if you cut the threads on the back, it unravels.
So it's been a long process, but it's finally starting to happen more. And I hope you're ready for the big step in skeleton. That's a little tougher, but
yeah, I'm gonna work on.
Which
that.
That's in the family. My sister, she did that one. She made the big stepping skeleton logo, and she's got a couple paintings coming out. And there's a lot of cool little stuff coming out here in the future. What else can we talk about?
I just think that my mother, who died when I was 13, was an artist, and I think that's where Amy got her art ability, and that's kind of cool to see it growing. And my brother's got an art; he's real good.
And you're an artist.
Well, I do an art with different forms. So, I do the. You can show me a picture, and I'll make an embroidery of it. I can digitize it in most cases. Sometimes it isn't exact, but it's close. So anyhow, it kind of runs in the family. Aaron's got an art, but his art's
through photography, really. Well, you know what? You know what's really weird is like I have never really even tried to really draw. I usually get scared and stop. But I was actually thinking about getting a paintbrush and doing some paint strokes and seeing.
Well, what do you think? What do you think? All those when you used to do the.
Server notepad. Well, if you don't know what the server notepad is a piece of paper half the size of your hand, I would write probably 200 orders on when I was a server, and it's just, you can barely read it, it's really small, and when you blow it up, you can actually see, like, cheeseburger, CB, and all these things, and it's kind of funny, it's just kind of the thing I did, but go ahead.
But that was art.
I guess. A lot of people, I've got offers to buy those things, actually. And I'm like, man, that's art, but in a weird way, it's different. I call it the server notepad. If you haven't, I'll try to show you guys some more examples of it.
But I had something, but you cut me off.
Damn it.
Darn kids.
Maybe this is where I got it in the family.
Don't get old because you forget whatever you forgot.
I always say something, and then I get sidetracked because I have to explain something else to explain something I'm saying, and then by the time I explain that, I forget what I'm saying.
You almost need to write it down.
But that's a lot of work. But
I don't know. It's kind of fun. Oh, I know what I was going to say. When I was in Vietnam, I used to take pictures of everything I did. I always figured I would want my kids to see what war was, what's happening, and I've just now finished copying all my slides, and Aaron, when he was a little kid, he used to sit there and look at those pictures, and I think somewhere back there that gave him the idea or the image or the desire to take pictures.
Well, you know what? Now you think about it. It probably, because you would always say, I would like, how'd you get those home? And you'd be like, well, you know, I just got them home. Or how'd you get this home? Or how'd you get your little grenade that you you have like little objects. And how'd you get all, I could never figure out how you got all these like amazing photos that should not be taken home. And so like, for some weird reason, I think that's what might spawn me to always have my camera on me, because you never know what you'll capture. Because like, even if I was in a car, I was in a car, and then all of a sudden like there was a traffic jam, and like I took a picture of what happened, you know, like I don't know why, I just always keep a camera with me, and it's like maybe that could be the reason.
Yeah, I was in helicopter. I used to take pictures with one hand to shoot the machine gun with the other.
Sounds like me. Shoot my camera with one hand and my camera phone out with the other hand.
Yeah, but I used to, the only time I'd quit, I always had my camera around my neck, and in fact, I'm going to a reunion with all the guys, and
that's where I'm taking them right now, to the airport to go.
And I'm sure that those guys are going to be wanting, can I have a copy? And I'm trying to decide if I want to make a calendar or what I want to do with those pictures. I'm hoping to you know, like National Geographic.
Or, well, I've been saying to do a book for years, so yeah. A book, just throw a bunch of pictures on there, talk about a little bit of paragraph on it, or not even a paragraph, but, I mean, your pictures are awesome. They're pictures you can't really see.
And they're actually action pictures. I got pictures of people getting shot by machine guns.
Ripped in half.
From way up in the air. I've got bodies. I've got all that stuff, but I got some of the coolest pictures of, as we drop the troops off and start picking up, I've got the pictures of the guys running, and I got, you know, villages in the background. And
you know what we should do is I'll leave the recorder, or you should just record something and then talk about, like, some of your war stories.
Then
I'm sure there's a lot of people who are intrigued by war stories, like to hear about war stories. And then what we could do is we could put it up there and then put little pictures with the story and then throw it up on the internet or something if you want.
Yeah.
Right now there's like security guards. We're on the roof of this casino at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's really no cars here, and there's security, there's maintenance, like wondering what we're doing up here. Why are these guys with the car on? Sitting in the car upstairs, just sitting there chatting away, like
loud.
Yeah. That's funny.
This is Vegas, though. You know, what happens in Vegas is weird in Vegas.
No, well, okay, we should probably edit that part out, because that just now sounds weird.
Yeah. Oh, no, leave it. That makes it even more
But weird. Our view right now is looking out over all the strip and the casinos, so that's pretty cool.
Paris, Venetian.
Yeah, the whole
Raj,
thing.
Caesar
well,
Palace.
We've seen a lot of it grow for like almost 14 years.
Yeah,
we've seen it all.
We were in Treasure Island, and when I was telling Aaron, this is the first time I've been in here since 1995, when I came down, and he came down and lived with me for the summer. So it's this one and the Mirage, I haven't been in years. So.
Yeah. Just making sure it's recording.
So anyhow, that's kind of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, do you got any, here, we can, actually, we have a recorder sitting here, and I got to get him to the airport, so we're going to drive and talk. Is that your water?
Probably.
Okay.
Or yours.
I don't drink water, only coffee.
Oh, that's right, yours had that color, vitamins in it.
I took the what is it called?
Vitamin C.
The vitamin C pack or whatever. It's always good, I travel a lot, you need to take your vitamins.
Mommy always said I need vitamins.
What's
the post? Oh.
So again, I have a recorder sitting on the dash, and we're just talking while driving. There's no holding the recorder. I'm driving safely.
Yeah, right. It's in his right hand right now. He lies.
No, whoa. But I don't know. Is there anything else? I mean, I'm sure there's probably all kinds of questions if the audience could ask right now.
Well, that would be fun if they could. Ask questions.
Well, that's what's happening. Right now, I'm doing 3 hours worth of talking into this little recorder to gain a lot of, I don't know, talking? No, I'm to start my podcast, I'm doing it through this company, and they need 3 hours of footage. So I'm just kind of just talking it up. So soon we can do a chat where you are talking with me and we can ask questions through fans and all
right.
That. But as of right now, this is just me asking and talking with you or blah, blah, blah. But I can't wait because so far I'm just talking to myself and I'd rather be talking to people and having them ask questions. And so it's a little crazy, but I don't know. Let's see. What would someone want to ask?